Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 38 of Jubo Hub. We thank you so much for being a guest and a participant, a listener, a watcher, whatever you are on our show today. We thank you so much. We have an amazing topic discussing technology. And it's like sometimes the conversation that just makes us shudder thinking about where technology is. But today's show is going to be extremely positive and talking about how we can embrace technology. So we look forward to introducing our guest in just a moment. But before we get into that, Mark and I have our tips of the day. Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, fabulous co-host. What is your tip for today, my friend?
All right. So you guys know I normally go with a more of an emotional intelligence tip for the day. And I have to read this one because it's kind of long, but I loved it because I have to tell myself this a lot. Don't think about what can happen in a month. Don't think about what can happen in a year. Just focus on the 24 hours in front of you and do what you can to get closer to where you want to be. I spent so much of my youth wondering, you know, where am I going to be when I'm 25? Where am I going to be when I'm 45? Or setting all these, you know, heavy kind of expectations on myself. And, you know, things just don't ever really seem to work out the way you think they might. But that's the joy of what I call life. It's an adventure. And I taught myself, and I still have to remind myself daily, that stop trying to focus so much on where I might be in a month. You know, look, if I'm still alive in a month, then God love me, but you just never know. And so I say, live every day to its fullest. And I love that quote. And it's one I wanted to share with everyone. Like, make this one day the best day that you can. Be the best wherever you are. If you're stuck in an office or in a sales meeting or a conference, be that best employee, be that best person that you can, because we're not guaranteed another 24 hours tomorrow. And I just love it. I think that what you make of that 24 hours will hopefully define that next month or next year. But that's my tip.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So that means today, this podcast, YouTube episode is just going to be another best, right, man? Awesomeness. Total. Thank you so much. Yeah, as always, with your emotional tips, I have to sit here and resonate on it just for a second. No, thank you. No, they're good. And I know our audience appreciates them. So thank you so much for bringing that. So mine is, as usual, not that deep. It's very technical. That's my job. So thinking about e-learning and the opportunity you have to impress upon your learners the why. So usually you have some sort of a quiz either partway through a module or at the end of a complete e-learning session. And do your students know why? So you can simply format your course to say wrong or right, but it is so much more beneficial if they know why. So take a minute. Doesn't matter what e-learning software tool you have, the majority of them have an opportunity for you to provide some feedback. So even if they do get it right, go above and beyond just saying correct. Tell them why it's correct. And if it's incorrect, tell them why it's incorrect. So that feedback will help the student really resonate and understand why they got that question wrong or right, and impress upon them the benefits of what they've just been educated on. So that's my e-learning training tip today. And thank you, Mark, for your emotional intelligence-based tip for today. Really appreciate that. So that brings us into our show. We'd like to welcome our guest, Mike Whaling from 30 Lines. Mike, how are you? Nice to have you on the show.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah. You know, you've been in the industry for quite a long time. I know, I think I met you very close to around the time when 30 Lines was founded, when you founded the company. Can you give our audience just a high level, like, who are you? What's 30 Lines and your education that you've been providing? I know you've been an industry speaker and a trainer. on the marketing level. Tell our audience who you are.
Yeah, for sure. So I founded 30 Lines in 2008. So it's been a while. And, you know, Jonathan, I think you're right. We first met on Twitter years and years ago when I was just getting this thing off the ground. So appreciate you following and being a fan and being a, you know, cheering us on as we've evolved. 30 Lines started really as a content marketing firm. You know, we really saw early on the convergence of SEO and search and where social media was going at the time. When we started, it was MySpace. Now it's Snapchat and TikTok and, you know, completely different places where people hang out. But a lot of things haven't changed along the way. Well, today we are much more of a marketing technology studio. We see, you know, we focus on the marketing, but we also see where technology can be transformative for a business and transformative for a customer experience. And we are really looking at all the different ways and touch points where we can create those easy, remarkable experiences for our customers, because that's in a world where people want to get in, get out, and get on with their day. We need to make it as easy as possible for them to see that we're the place that they should do business, and they can actually go through and complete that transaction, go, wow, that was easy. This place, these folks are going to be awesome. Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, it's so funny. When I think of technology and what you just said, technology has changed so much in our industry. Back from my first experience, I used to type up leases on a typewriter. So, you know, now everything's digital. Everything can be sent over, you know, through an email. So technology has definitely evolved tremendously in our industry. Mike, what do you think? What are some highlights that you have seen for the property management sector? What's the good and the bad? What have you seen that is great that we're doing, and where do we need some help? Because I know we're struggling. There's so much technology out there in our world, in our industry.
I love it. We've had more clients running more pilots than ever for all kinds of different technology over the past 18 months than ever before. There's more money coming into the industry from outside of people who see the opportunity to modernize systems and make it a more streamlined process across all kinds of operations in the industry. So, you know, if you look at the money coming into prop tech, it's amazing who is investing and how much money is flowing into technology. We're still in that phase of let's throw a bunch of things at the wall and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're starting to figure out pretty quickly what's going to stick around. You know, what was interesting, what was something that served us well during the pandemic when everybody was shut down, and what are the things that are like, wow, we really need to just embrace this and go full force with this new way of doing business. You know, when I see what's happening today, I think that the great news is that almost every aspect of the business is going to be touched by technology. And I think that the best businesses out there today are the ones that are service driven, but technology enabled. Mm-hmm. And that's outside of our industry, but it's going to affect departments as well. What I see is we really need to be thinking about the customer experience along the way. And by customer, I also mean our teams, especially our on-site teams. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but, you know, as we try these new technologies, how are we showing them how that delivers a better living experience for them? How are we connecting it back to the brand? How are we making it easier for the customer to take advantage of the technology that we're putting in place for them? Whether that's a resident portal, or whether that is some digital amenity service, or whether that is, you know, a touchless grocery store that we're putting in downstairs. There's all kinds of different things that are coming online, coming available to client, to our, you know, for us to deliver to residents. We need to really be thinking about how do we make all of those fit together in a way that tells a more complete story and delivers a great experience to the resident.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, something you just said, it kind of leads me right into a question. You might have answered it with what you just said, but There is so much technology in our industry on site that I do hear a lot. Maybe I don't want to say they're naysayers. Look, we've all embraced technology. We've had to. It has made our job so much easier in so many ways. But there's so much of it that it's overwhelming. And so, what advice would you give to either the organization, the corporate level team, or the on-site team, as far as embrace this technology? It's not here to replace you, embrace it. But I with this sort of idea in mind, that the argument is, you're overwhelming me with this technology. I spend more time checking different systems all day that I don't even get to perform customer service anymore, is what I hear a lot. So how do you work against that, so those naysayers?
How many layers are we going to be able to peel off here? How much time do we have? Let's start with this. In a lot of cases, the technology is more of a change management issue than it is a, I don't like this technology thing, or I don't see the purpose in it. You know, we have to be able to communicate the why. Why are we doing this? What's the end goal? What are we trying to solve for? And is that serving the on-site team? Is it serving, you know, corporate and executive? Is it serving our stakeholders? Is it serving our customers? What's the thing that we're trying to solve for? And make sure that people are on board with that. Let's all agree, like, hey, this is the problem that we're trying to solve. We think this technology can help with that, but we need your buy-in, and we need your input, and we need your feedback on how we, you know, whether this is working or not, or how we continue to improve it and how we continue to evolve it to make it work for everybody. A really good example right now is marketing automation and chatbots and some of the things with autonomous and automated leasing. There's some fantastic technologies out there right now today that can really help a property be more responsive, provide more personalized service, and deliver high touch service 24/7. We see there are plenty of folks at every level who are skeptics and who are nervous and who don't want that technology to come in because it's not going to be the way that they would answer the question, or they're nervous that it's going to take their job, or they're nervous that it's going to, you know, expose something else. But in any case, they are really nervous about, hey, we want to put this technology in place. What we see is, when we can have that conversation about, here's what we're trying to do, here's how it helps you, it's not replacing your job anytime soon, but it is going to be able to help. That chatbot or that email scheduler is going to be able to book a tour for you Friday at 10 o'clock at night, so that when you come back in the leasing office on Saturday morning or Monday morning, you're not overwhelmed by all of the leads that came in over the weekend. Once leasing teams start to see that, and they see that this thing is working in concert with them, it's complementing what they're doing, Now all of a sudden, it does allow them to deliver better customer service, more high touch. Hey, if I can have that appointment scheduler on the website that can book it, where people can pick their own time, that just saved me 6 touch points back and forth with that customer that I don't have to be in front of my email, and I can instead spend that time with the resident. So start with the why, you know, stealing from Simon Sinek, start with the why. What are we trying to accomplish? How do we think that this tool is going to help us with that? Now let's work on how that works with your workflow, and then get that feedback loop going of, is it working? Is it not? How do we make it better?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I know, Mike, just knowing you and staying connected with you all these years, like, you have been a great example of, you have a lot of services at 30 Lines, but you do the why, like your blog post, the interviews that you're on. And you mentioned when you and I were talking before the show, the level that you go to explain that and help educate not only your customers, but just our industry on that why. So that's just, and you lead by example. And I've always appreciated about you and, and your company. And it kind of leads to, Mark was mentioning how busy people are on site have a lot of responsibilities. You know, outside of the industry, there are a lot of job titles that are very specific to addressing technology and implementation of technology and training of technology. So when you look at our industry and you look at, you know, your clients or look at people that you've talked to, what do you see in our industry right now along that line? Are we measuring up to what other industries are doing, or do you see an evolution coming? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think we're getting there. I think that we're making huge progress. And I think it's, you know, to the people who are those naysayers, Mark, I think they're, you know, my concern for them is that it's only accelerating. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we are making huge strides. And I think that we're really looking at how do we make tools that work better for our customers? How do we offer services and amenities that work better for our customers? And honestly, there are all kinds of you know, software vendors serving this industry that are trying to solve all of those problems. And what I see a lot of right now is there are a lot of great tools coming available and services that many people are already paying for today, where you just need to dig in and get familiar with what can this thing do? How can it help me? The tools are there. The settings are there. It's just a matter of making sure that we have somebody who knows it well enough that they can get in and make sure that this tool is actually doing what it's supposed to and helping us out in the right ways. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people to be talking to your vendor partners, dig into some of the social groups that are out there and the networks that are available within, you know, the professional networking groups that are available within the industry, because I can promise you that you're probably paying for a tool and somebody else is out there and they're using it in a way that you haven't thought of before. And you just need a little bit of exposure to, oh man, I hadn't even thought about using our CRM that way, but that's, you know, makes total sense. There's a lot of those kinds of opportunities out there right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah. So do you see that there's an ongoing role for like a person who is, that's their designation. Like they're a technology or a systems trainer, and they're the one that needs to organize how, all right. And I love the model that you mentioned. Okay. We've identified as a company, here's a challenge. Here is a resident challenge. Here is a prospect challenge. And then as a company, here's a solution that we are looking at, and having that buy-in, you know, that's really, really important, as opposed to, well, we just made a decision and here you go. You need to use it. Love it. So now we get into that implementation phase, and do you feel like that's also what you're seeing? That's also part of the evolution, is that individual or that team of individuals who is on those communities to be able to find out the best ways to use this product, and then disseminating that information out to on-site if it's relevant to the on-site team. Like, what do you think about that, Mike?
I think that there are, I'll start with this. I think that we put way too much on our on-site teams, period. Across the board, you know, they're literally dealing with fires and we're asking them for reports. And oh, by the way, don't forget to post on Instagram. Like all of the above, right? And it's just more and more and more. And a lot of the technology, you know, I get it, because the properties are where we are delivering service to our customers, but we have to look at what are the things that we can take off of their plate. Like we were talking about the chatbots earlier, what are the things that we can take off of their plate so that they can deliver the level of service that we expect. And I think when you start to get into that, you absolutely see there is going to be an evolution of titles. The last decade, we saw some of this already. We saw it in IT, we saw it in pricing management. You know, companies that have invested in revenue management, pricing software, a lot of them either are paying a consultant or they've brought somebody in-house or a team in-house that can focus on here's how we get better at pricing. Let's take the human emotion, the human factor out of pricing, and let's let machine learning software tell us how we should be pricing our apartments. And now there are people who specialize in that. You're going to see the exact same thing in evolution of titles with marketing automation, mm-hmm. with smart home technology, mm-hmm. with ancillary amenity partners. Like in a lot of cases, some of those, you know, for bigger companies, those positions already exist. But you're going to start to see a shift in evolution of, hey, we need a marketing automation specialist on our team. We need someone who can really work with IT and operations and marketing so that we can really execute a self-guided tour function and experience the right way. I wouldn't expect our property managers right. to know how to do that. They need to be familiar with it. They need to know, like, hey, here's how the self-guided tour works so that you can explain it and be there to support it. But they're not the ones that need to know all of the ins and outs of here's what you have to do and here's how it gets set up and here's how we execute it. We need to evolve the titles and we need to create those positions that can help us manage that at a really effective level.
I like that advice. And I will tell you, it has never been a secret in our industry that the way you and Jonathan communicate from a technical mind is not the way that a customer service trainer or what we call soft skills trainer communicates. And the voice or who's listening from the on-site perspective is your language can be very confusing to most people, right? And so I find that I've always said there are systems trainers and then there are soft skills trainers, but systems trainers do not make good soft skill trainers and vice versa in most cases. And so sometimes it does take another solution or a common sort of fixed result between the two. So that's something that I wanted to ask you about that I know we struggle with. The technology, yes, is not going away. And look, if I can get my 86-year-old mother taught how to use an iPhone, I pried the flip phone out of her hand and taught her how to use an iPhone. I think there is hope for all of us. But I will say it is a challenge because a lot of technically minded people, when they're trying to explain the process of a new technology, it doesn't resonate with many of us out on site and we get intimidated. And then you have only one resource to go to, and that might be your systems trainer. Well, if that systems trainer is overworked or bothered by your questions, then it all falls apart again, right? So I think maybe one of the solutions is making sure that the providers have their own sort of resource, their own customer service contact that are willing to pick up that phone and be there. I was just on site yesterday with an employee and we didn't know how to enter something manually. And I found myself, I was like, well, let me email the systems trainer because I didn't know how to do it. And she was like, I'm in the middle of a training. Can you wait a couple hours? And I thought, oh, there has to be a better solution to this. But
yeah,
I think you're right, Mike. I think
it's amazing to me how many times I see, you know, in a professional Facebook group, people are asking like, hey, how do I do this thing in my property management software? And you know, what's great about it is they get answers usually within minutes because there's somebody else who's figured it out and they figured out, oh, here's that manual. Here's the way to manually enter an application, you know, in a certain way. We have some incredibly talented people in this industry and they're willing to help each other. So, you know, I don't know that I have great suggestions for, you know, I agree with you, Mark. I think that the vendors need to be willing to lend a hand and help people. And, you know, I don't think we can ever have enough screenshots and quick 3 to 5 minute video walkthroughs of here's how to do this thing. You can never have enough of that. I know my team makes me do it all. Like they actually schedule time with me and go, Mike, just walk us through how to do this thing. I'm going to record it so that we have it. Yeah. And I'm totally fine with that. I think that that's fantastic. I think where we have to get back to in, you know, it's going to be a broken record at this point, but it's that why there's the thing that we see a lot right now is we hear a new technology. We hear about a new technology. We try this new thing and sometimes there's a little bit of a, hey, we checked that box, and not really looking at the soft skills side of, did we actually provide the experience that helped the customer? Mm-hmm. A really good example are, you know, go back to chatbots or go back to even like email responses. We know that, you know, we've heard speed to the lead before. If you respond faster with, you know, more personalized information, there's a better chance that you're going to close that lead, or at least get them to take a tour. So we see a lot of our marketing customers who they say, oh yeah, we have an autoresponder. We've got email, automated email follow-up. And then you actually go do it, and it's the email that's like, thank you, we have received your message. Someone will be in touch with you eventually.
Yeah.
Sincerely, yeah. The management, right? And somewhere along the line, we're just mixing it up. Like, yeah, you check the box. There's that automatic instant response to the customer, but it's not actually helping them. And so, you know, we're not taking that far enough down the path to make it useful to the customer. And at the same time, somebody's going to look at that come budget season and go, well, we're paying for this autoresponder and it didn't help us at all. Cancel it. So, you know, there's some dueling things that are happening there, but we have to combine both of those skills of the technical. Like, this is one of the things that I really appreciate in, you know, Mark, you know, let me know when you find those unicorns out there who can do it, but you have to have those conversations between the technical of what is possible and the soft skills and the marketing people of what are we trying to communicate. The more that those people can have lunch together, the better, the more conversations you're going to have where it's like, oh, I could totally build that thing that you want to do. Or, hey, here's this new piece of technology. Here's how we can market it and use that as a better, to provide a better experience or tell a better story. The more that those things can happen, it's incredible what comes out of that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I've had more, I'll say the good and the bad. I've had more arguments with systems trainers in my training career. And I've also had some really great sort of insightful meetings with some other systems trainers. So when you can find that common ground and find the solutions together, it makes perfect sense to me. I hope this isn't a curveball, but you know, it's interesting. We know technology isn't going anywhere. It's constantly changing. It's evolving. It's getting smarter. Do you find that with what you do that people are becoming, and when I say people, I mean like our employees, are they almost depending too much on the technology where we're getting lazy? Because I'm finding, and I don't know if this is a generational thing, a cultural thing, like meaning just the world that we're living in today, or if it is technology is so advanced that a lot of millennials say, I don't even want to call the office anymore. I'm glad I can do everything through the computer. I don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, when we first started talking about this, the fear was, oh, this technology is going to replace me. But sometimes I'm worried, is that actually the reality? Because a lot of people love the simpleness of the technology that I see. Like you even said with the email responses, there's no extra something, you know, like that customer service push, like, hello, Mike, so glad you reached out. I see in your request, you want a one bedroom, you know, overlooking the pool. There's very little of that. It is that very simple automated response to me that's making us somewhat lazy. Are you seeing that to be a problem or is that just me?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's generational, right? I think it's like, I think there are plenty of people who are happy with doing the bare minimum and
sure,
going home from work and getting on with their day, right? Like that's always been a thing and it's always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to, you know, we have to look at how do we develop that curiosity? How do we develop that desire to help people just one step further? Mm-hmm. Mike Brewer with Radco Residential, you know, he talks all the time about just the one more thing, right? The maintenance guy that goes in and he takes care of the sink. And while he fixes the sink, he washes all the dishes that are in the sink, right? Like that's like the one more thing. You can try and train it. You can try and and build a culture around that. But I think some people are just wired for that, and some people are not. But I do think that there are some things where you can put a framework in place that says, like, how do you get someone to the next step? Mm-hmm. How do you, like, one of the things that we talk about with our content services, with our SEO, is people are asking a question, and depending on where they're at in their shopping process, the type of questions they ask are going to change. And so when we're thinking about SEO for a client, we want to be the best answer, but we have to be thinking about what are all the different kinds of questions that people might ask, where we need to have content, you know, because, like, if I'm, let's say I'm relocating from Columbus to Atlanta, I just got a new job. I don't even know what the cool neighborhoods are. I don't know what are the best neighborhoods. So the first question I'm going to ask are, like, best neighborhoods in Atlanta. And I'll do some research around that. That's way different than I found the apartment community I want. Now I'm just going to search for their contact info or their office hours, or do they offer virtual tours? All of those are questions that our customers have at some point during the process. We have to be thinking about how do we provide the right answer and how do we get them to take that next step? And, you know, on the marketing side, it's how do we get them to book a tour? How do we get them to reach out? Once we've contacted, your example is perfect, Mark. Hey, they've reached out. Now I want to show them that we're going to help them find the perfect place. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are your must-haves? What are your deal killers? Give me the gory details about all of the things you want in your next apartment. I'm going to be here when you reply so that we can get you in the right place.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I've always known there's, and I know I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but there's like a statistic that says that only, I don't know, 20% or 10% of your workforce is going to really excel and be amazing. And then the 80 or 90% is just going to be status quo. I tell a lot of people that I work with that quite often, so we can remember, like, look, I can only work with who wants to be the best, who wants to do better things. And so your answer was very accurate. You know, you can only, if we only have 10% or 20% of the people that actually want to do better with the technology that we're offering and do the most amazing job, then hey, I'll take it. I'll take that 10%. I'll take that 20% and make them the incredible leaders of tomorrow. But I think that's the difference, right? It's the people who get in there and figure things out and figure out how this benefits the organization and how they can maneuver with it and change with it, that do become the leaders of the future. So,
you know, Mark, I think that sometimes stats like that are kind of self-fulfilling prophecies. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've seen, because I see it with our people, is like, if you get into this rut of run this report and do this thing and fill out this checklist and send this message with this canned template, you're not going to get people who are engaged in their work.
Right.
Yeah. You have to find a way to give people some agency and give people some, hey, how are you going to put, you know, I love companies that let their customer support people, they let them give themselves crazy titles in their responses. All you're doing is emailing somebody in because you have a support request, and you get something back that's like, hey, Mark, thanks for reaching out. Stay fly. And, you know, it's like, that's just fun. The guy's in a customer service job, but he's been given some room to have some fun with it. And, you know, it makes his day better. It makes the customer's day better. And you don't feel like you're in as much of a rut with your job.
Absolutely.
So you've kind of painted another level for us too, Mike. You were mentioning what you contribute to the industry, and you threw out a couple of topics, you know, like chatbots, pretty fairly new for industry service that you guys offer, SEO, and what you do internally to make sure everybody is on the same page. And I think that's the picture, like, our audience in a perfect world, you know, would love to have always at their fingertips, is like you mentioned, the why. And I'll add the how. So documentation, that just has to be part of it. If your company isn't big enough to have a systems trainer or a chief technology officer or a team, then it goes back to like your example of what you do to make sure that your consumer, the property management company, is utilizing it and can have the answers to their questions and be familiar with it and feel comfortable with it so that the end user, which is the prospect or the resident, gets the most benefit. And I feel like that's is often, you know, being in a learning and development background and a marketing background, I get it from both sides because, you know, my wife, I'll try and explain something to her and she'll be like, I don't know what you just said. I have no clue, you nerd. You know, we get that. We have to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of those who are consuming it. And so I feel like you've really emphasized the level of, like, for instance, when a support level question comes in, like what you mentioned, Mark, in your example, well, that should be automatically turned around to, well, we need to document that. Okay, that was not available for some reason for our team. We didn't do a good enough job. We didn't record a video how to do it, or we didn't provide some direction on how to do it or a resource. And so that just needs to be constantly kind of built on. So is that kind of connecting the dots, Mike, and like what you feel like where there's always that ongoing need to make sure our teams are well informed about the products that they're using from a technology perspective?
Two things come to mind, Jonathan. I think you're 100% right, but there's two things that come to mind. Sit down with your on-site teams and ask them, what are the top 20 questions you get from prospects? What are the top 20 questions you get from residents? Mm-hmm. All of those questions should be documented. The answers should be written out in conversational tone, and they should be on your property website somewhere, because that's the stuff that, you know, honestly, if you feel like you're getting too many unqualified leads, it's probably because you're not straightforward. You're not answering the question about your pet policy or your rental requirements or something else that if they could just see it on their website, like, you know, not everybody reads, but answer those questions, put them out there. That's actually marketing and helping you reach the more qualified customers, right, if you answer all of those questions, and then do the same thing on your Google business listing, and then do the same thing in the emails that you follow up with. Hey, here's some things that you need to know for move-in day, right? Those are all marketing opportunities. The flip internally, you know, I tell my team, when you go on vacation, I want you to enjoy it. I don't want you to feel like you have to check your email or check your Slack or whatever. So what that means is you need to clearly communicate to everybody else on your team who's counting on you. You need to make sure that they can get their stuff taken care of without you, right, so that you can lounge on the beach. Yep. So what that's done then is it forces people on my team to be thinking about, what do I need to document? What are the training sessions that I need to hold or record? What are the little videos or screenshots that I can take so that this stuff is available and people know where to get it and who's covering for me when I'm out?
Right. And I think that's another whole other conversation, like proper documentation and how to set that up and how to make it accessible. And I love it. I love it. Cause that's how, you know, with my wife and I, when we're dealing with learning solutions, we take same as what you just mentioned. Every time someone has a question about something, that means we didn't provide the information somewhere. And we have to update how that is communicated to our customer base. So I think this is an amazing conversation. You know, Mike, thank you so much. Cause you know, it just, we know we have work to do as an industry, but it is so great to see that we are on the right track. It's just keep looking for those gaps, make those adjustments. And for those who are listening to the show who are on the industry supplier side, you know, make sure that you have good internal training and a way to communicate how these products work so that your customers have the great end user experience as well. Yeah. So thank you for being on the show. So to kind of wrap it up,
of course.
What, you know, I mentioned earlier, you've been an industry trainer. and done a ton of speaking sessions over the years, whether it's connected to this topic or just in general, like what do you have, like a nugget that you typically share with people to really help them as an industry trainer? Like what's your tip or words of wisdom you can leave us with?
I think as a trainer, as a marketer, as an operator, I think one of the best things that you can do right now is just be a student of consumer behavior and attention. What do people focus on? How do they, where do they spend their time? What are the things that they're drawn to? What are the things that don't capture people's attention? You know, as a trainer, I have a friend who he's making training videos on TikTok right now. He's a coach and he's making training videos on TikTok and he's getting thousands of views and thousands of likes because he's found a community and he's found a way to engage there in 60, 90 second snippets. Mm-hmm. I think that that's an opportunity that more of us probably need to keep an eye on. But if you understand consumer behavior, if you understand how people, you know, where they spend their time and attention, that's going to tell you exactly how should we be organizing our operations? How should we be telling our story and communicating through our marketing? What types of resonant experiences should we be trying to create? You know, there's some amazing opportunities out there for different amenity options that people hadn't even considered 18 months ago. And now they're just common practice. Yeah. But be a student of consumer behavior, look at what people are doing and where they spend their time. And that's going to give you a lot of insight into where you need to be focusing your effort.
I love it. Be a student of consumer behavior. That's perfect. 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 Thank you so much. This has been a great show. Thank you for sharing your perspective. And everyone who's listening to our show, please be sure to check out their website and their products and the way they support them. So Mike, how can people connect with you? Just remind your audience, you know, what your website is and how people can connect with you socially.
Yeah. Website's 30lines.com. That's 30LINES, 30lines.com. That's the easiest place to get a hold of me and my team. I'm most active on LinkedIn. You can find me there. It's Mike Whaling. And you can email me at mike@30lines.com.
Awesome. Yes, please. We'll include those in our show notes and for our audience. Yeah, check it out. Love working with Mike over the years and learned a ton from him. And again, from this show, learned another whole level of what we can do as an industry. So we appreciate you bringing your insight and experience to the table here today, Mike. Mr. Mark, how can people connect with you, my friend?
Absolutely. So yes, my company name is Howell Creative Concepts or howellcreativeconcepts.com, but the Howell is spelled H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon. You can reach me on LinkedIn, Facebook, but you can email me straight to mark@howellcreativeconcepts.com.
Awesome. Yes. Mark is a fabulous industry trainer. Please check out his website. Thank you for being on the show. If you have a moment, we would really appreciate you connecting with us on our YouTube channel, or follow us on your favorite podcast service. Give us a review, a thumbs up. We thank you for your support of this complimentary education session that we've had today. This has been episode 38. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We will see you on our next episode. Take care.
Bye guys.